It's happening, you guys, it's happening! Oh my god! Oh my god! I wish you all were here!
This is Audio Whiplash on the Tall Can Audio Network. Follow along on Twitter at TallCanAudio or at Facebook.com/TallCanAudio.
Audio.
Smells like feet in here, man.
Well, I can tell you which one of us brought that in.
Not me.
Oh.
I'm freshly showered prior to arrival in the studio.
Okay.
Clean wardrobe.
Mm-hmm.
Take that, my friend. That's right back to the old standard, the tank house. Hoops.
Yeah. It's a good one, man.
You always got to come home, right, to something.
Yeah.
Tank house has become my, that and Guinness. Those are my.
I got a Guinness waiting up here, second on deck. But
okay. Those are the ones you come home to and you go, that's going to level out the palate, see where everything else sits.
Yeah, it's nice, man. I've been off the Mill Street a little bit too long.
Well, but Mill Street, they changed the logos. I'm not liking
that. They're bought up, right? They're now one of the big guys.
Anyways, I hijacked your intro.
Well,
where are we, man? What is this? What are we doing here today?
This is Audio Whiplash number 110. Nope. 150? I think it's 150. Only on the Tall Can Audio Network.
Why are we still seeing how many this is?
Why not? Because iTunes requires that you number them before you post them, essentially.
Okay. Then there you go, my
That's
friend.
That's the reason.
There is a reason right there.
But you're right. There's no real reason to continue identifying them on the show.
Well, because it makes you look like, I don't know what I'm doing when I say, welcome to Audio Whiplash number 47.
Could be something.
Wait, no. 210?
Yeah.
138. I don't know. Whatever. Fuck it.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that is clear is that we are well behind Tall Can Sports, which is more than doubled what this show has done.
And why do you think that is?
I think that's clearly where our passions. You know what's weird is I had someone say to me.
Exactly where my passion lies.
Okay. I think it's just easier. You just open up a microphone and bullshit about sports for a while and
yep.
Continue rolling. I had someone say to me, someone asked that question a while. I said, it's easy to find things in sports to talk about. And they kind of looked back at me like, versus the entire rest of the world, there's nothing to talk about. There are only topics in sports.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? Whoever that was, yeah. They're right. It's so easy to talk about. There's a million things happening.
Yeah.
But what's interesting to you and me and everybody else is different.
I think that's the thing is it's almost too big. Like sports, it's just, well, here's what was on SportsCenter today. We'll pick one or two of those things
well, sports
and talk
is,
about
sports
it.
Is huge. We don't cover European soccer.
And we
don't
will.
Do much. Well, this is it, right? There's a bunch of stuff. NBA gets a little coverage here, yeah. Right? But, you know, there's soccer is this huge thing. Football, we underreport
yep.
on the NFL.
Yes.
Right? It's just,
well,
sports
another part
in itself
of it,
is huge as well.
Another part of it is, do you want to be one of 3,000 NFL podcasts?
I do.
Or one of 1,200 NFL podcasts? Like, there's a certain amount of
yeah, but I don't worry about the
oversaturation.
Other 1,199 NHL podcasts because this is absolutely your
this is where you should be. No, it's true. But you'd think, I think part of the problem when you go back to Tall Can Sports versus Audio Whiplash is, yes, there's the whole rest of the world. Where do I start to look on that, right? Like, sports is just something I have an eye on, and there's a couple things each week that jump out at you, and you grab it and you go. And you look at Audio Whiplash and you go, okay, is this another one where we grab a couple of news stories, or do we find something kind of silly, like what we're going to talk about here in a little while? Like, it's almost too big, right? Like, where do I start? What do I grab? What do I do this
well,
week?
And do you want to come to us for your absolute heartbreaking news?
Yeah, no.
No?
I don't want you to.
Okay. I don't want you to either.
No, we're not journalists.
Wow. We don't break down the news.
Right. Well, podcasting is not a good place for breaking news. It's hard to do that live, right? It's hard to be right on top of it.
We're not live.
You can dissect it.
Is this live? There's not people listening to this in live time?
We were asked to put you on a delay.
Jesus Christ, I've been...
sort of like Don Cherry in Quebec or Sweden or Russia or really anywhere but rural Ontario. you know what? It's just a different...
Are you suggesting that I yell half sentences and then go, and on to the next?
Always pounding on the table.
Yeah.
Looking at Ron.
I'll never forget, never man.
I'll never forget. And this is, you know, is sort of a borderline Tall Can Sports thing, I guess. But for the longest time, when you were looking at your TV, Don Cherry was standing on the right and Ron McLean was on the left. And it was that way forever. And then, I don't know, 2013, 2014, one Saturday, it was just, there's Don on the left and Ron on the right. And I was at my cottage with a bunch, we're sitting around the table. I don't even think we have the sound on, but I looked up, like, Don's on the left. Guys, Don's on the left. What's happening? It's a big deal, man. Like, all of you just notice these. And apparently one day he just walked in and told Ron we're switching. Never gave any reason. Never.
But he hears better every time.
I was going to say the same thing. He's probably gone deaf in one ear. Yep. Ron certainly has.
Well, I travel around with my dad, and he hears way better out of the right ear than he does out of the left.
Right. So, yeah. Well, so here we are, 150 or something. 250? What did I decide? 150.
150.
We got a story about a cock cam, but it was supposed to be something else first. And I don't remember what it was. Oh, I know what it was. I don't necessarily want to talk about the disaster that took place. It'd be a week and a half ago now in New Zealand.
Christchurch.
Yeah. Everyone knows what happened in terms of the shooting and how it all went down. What I am intrigued by is the idea that the New Zealand government was able to turn around and go, okay, fuck this. These types of weapons are no longer legal in this country.
6 days.
6 days. And it was just like that. And now my fairly limited understanding of the New Zealand government indicates that they have a very popular prime minister right now. And she had some political momentum to begin with.
That, in a minority government, too. Yeah, I don't think she's got a majority.
That's
down
right.
There.
And yet, in a moment of tragedy, everyone went, yeah, this can't be allowed to happen again, and turned on a dime. And now this is invariably going to be compared to the United States and the NRA and all that stuff. Their gun culture is very different than an American gun culture, right?
They have more guns per capita than the Americans do, though.
Right. But it's a much more... It's less ingrained culturally as a...
Well, it's not in their Second Amendment.
Right. It's not this right to bear arms. It's not this... It's very much about sporting and sport shooting and things like that, which machine guns have very little place in. And they turned around and said, yeah, we're fixing this. We're changing this. They're going to essentially buy back guns from people who own these weapons and say, we're taking this away, but we'll refund your money. So it's going to cost
$150 million. Is that what I saw?
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's got to be higher than that.
Okay.
In New Zealand dollars versus American dollars, I don't know.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That seems low anyway, okay. But I could be wrong. And we'll share a couple of articles here. I will send you back, for those of you interested in such things, there was an episode of The Daily, which is a podcast put out every day by the New York Times, to Friday, March 22nd's episode. And they got very in-depth on this stuff. Super interesting listen.
They had an Australian reporter, I believe it was an Australian,
mm-hmm.
right, who was on there with them, and they were discussing in-depth Jacinda Orin, I believe is her name.
Sounds right.
And just how quickly she was able to do this. And they're talking about semi-automatic weapons, military-style weapons, any weapons that could be converted to automatic weapons will all become illegal.
Yeah.
Right? No longer sold. They talked about the extensive process that you have to go through to get a gun license in New Zealand.
And then another one for each type of gun. It's not even just a standard. Right.
You need a couple of references that need to have a written. They need to stand up for you. And then
it's like getting a fucking passport.
Right. But then most interestingly to me on that front was, yeah, if you get a couple of infractions, either driving or, you know, the police got to show up at your house for
domestic disturbance of some kind.
That goes into the database and then they go, hey.
You should get that guy's gun.
Matt has now, we've got a couple of different things that we've had to show up and we're going to take a look at his gun license again. And you're like, man, that's some crazy stuff.
That's some forward thinking bullshit.
That's some way crazy forward stuff. And so I think what happens is, and the guy's name escapes me from the Daily.
Michael Barbaro.
Who asked the Australian reporter, what is it that, do you think allowed them to make this happen so successfully? And now granted, New Zealand is only 5 million people.
Yep.
Right? And with a minority government, how are you able to have that? They attempted in 04 or 05, again in 2012 or 13. They had another referendum in 17, and none of them really were successful in passing because the country wasn't united with this, right? And you're going, yeah, I don't see the reason. I don't know. Do we need to do that? Whereas this, you seize this opportunity where the crime is so heinous, right? That people are horrified.
Yeah.
Right. And it shocks you out of any bipartisan.
Out of political bullshit.
Ways, right? That you go, yeah, there's no need for that. And you strike while the political iron is hot.
Yeah.
And they talked about how you're able to unite the country behind this initiative, right? And so you move forward where in a country of 5 million with 250,000 gun owners, which is only what, about 5%, right? Whereas in the States, the population is so large and the population is so fractured along, you know,
political lines.
Color lines, racial, all these sorts of things, right? And you go
religious.
Yeah, it is hardly a unified.
Well, yeah,
and they have these accidents
weekly,
incidents all the time.
And I think a big part of it is, you know, you can put it on the NRA, and a lot of people do. They are the biggest one, but there's a gun lobby that is financially motivated to make sure nothing changes in the United States, no matter, you know, you can try and get people fired up based on patriotism and Second Amendment or whatever the government might be trying to pull, or immigrants rushing across the border in Mexico, whatever it might be that might lead you to believe you need more guns, they're financially motivated to make you believe. It's a different country.
More guns will lead to less gun violence.
Yeah.
That's the firm belief.
The only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun.
And you know what? The singular amazing fact to me that came out of the most amazing thing that came out of that, whether it was Howard, the Australian Prime Minister, when he was talking about the Port Arthur massacre where 34 people were killed in 1996. Prior to Port Arthur, there had been 13 different sort of mass shootings in Australia.
Yeah.
Under Howard, they made that change to do exactly what New Zealand's doing right now, outlawing semi-automatics, all those sorts of things.
Yep.
And since 96, Matt, how many mass shootings in Australia?
Zero.
Zero. Good guys with guns versus bad guy with guns. How about nobody with semi or automatic weapons?
You do not require this. It's not for hunting. It's not for protecting your family. It's for pretending you're Rambo.
And Howard's saying, and he's obviously he's from, he's you know, he's got a bit of a, his Australian accent sounds like he may be from the outback.
Yeah.
But he's saying, yeah, I realized that I'm in a position with this power. And if I didn't make this happen, people have a right to say, this bloke doesn't know what he's about. And I thought, yes.
It's very Aussie, but it's very on the money.
This is exactly right. Yeah. And you go, this bloke doesn't know what he's about. And you're right. That's the deal. I have this opportunity to make this fundamental change that's better for my country. And again, to me, the black and white is 13 versus zero in 23 years.
Yeah.
Those numbers, you know, are things that a blind man can see.
Do you know Jim Jefferies, stand-up comedian from Australia?
Yep.
And so he has a great stand-up, and we'll share the clip at tallcanaudio.com. We'll share the clip at tallcanaudio on Twitter, facebook.com/tallcanaudio. And he's doing a stand-up after a mass shooting, and he's doing it in the United States. He goes, I know most of you think you don't want to hear what an Australian thinks about your laws, but your First Amendment tells me I can say whatever the fuck I want about your second one, so here it comes. Right?
Yes.
And he just tells that exact story, right? That, you know, we had a horrible problem. They said, hey, how should we fix that problem? And then they fix that problem, and we don't have that fucking problem anymore. It's something to look at, man. Like, and, you know, I don't want to get too dark on this, but this thing was over for me years and years and years ago. The one at Sandy Hook with the elementary school kids. Yeah. You didn't do anything. And if you decided that a classroom full of dead elementary school students is fine, and we can keep our guns, then you're never going to change. Nothing's going to change. We just today, as we sit here and record this on Sunday afternoon, reports come out of a second Parkland survivor this week, that has committed suicide. Not able to handle whether it was what they had seen or been through, whether it was the attention, whether or not it was the attacks from the right on the fact that a bunch of these students stood up and tried to take whatever the reason was. This is fucking with people, even if they managed to survive the guns. I just think it's mighty impressive. In 6 days, one entire country was able to go, nope, fuck it, we're done with that. And, you know, we'll see where it goes. This is worth following. I'm sure not everyone over there loved it, but enough of them went, yeah, no, we can't do this anymore.
Well, what's the chances that a troop of whatever, Antarctican, you know, extremists are going to roll up in New Zealand and show up there and say
seems
whatever.
Light, eh? Seems low.
It does. It does. Or how about mad Argentinians? Yeah. I got like, well, who's making it there? Or right. Fijians? Or, you know, Cook Islanders? I got no idea what's going to happen there that you need to
crazy
defend yourself.
Fucking Tasmanians.
This is it.
Yeah.
And so, at that point, you go, I think your hunting shotgun, your rifles will probably do it.
Yep.
We'll do whatever you need to do. Your sportsman shooting, your accuracy, your hunting, as the woman said, culling of animals on your farm.
Yep.
All right. Next time I got to cull something, all right, I'll have to bring several shotguns or rifles. But yeah, that's the reality is, yeah, you don't need, if a band of 10 ruffians are going to show up at your house. Yeah, well,
but
you won the lottery in reverse. Sorry about that. That's bad, unfortunate, but it doesn't happen every 100 years.
It's just so wild that, you know, we sit here with our own problems, right? But we sit here with a front row view of the United States and how they've just decided there's nothing we can do. We can't fix it. This can't possibly be undone. And another country went, psh, done.
Yeah.
6 days.
We're making that shit happen. Now, pronto.
So I think as you were about to say, tip of the cap to...
tip of the cap! Teen, tourists.
The haka to New Zealand.
Yeah. Oh, did you see that clip of the kids doing the haka?
I did.
That was pretty cool.
Let our listeners in.
It was one of the candlelight vigils, right, where a bunch of different schools bust kids in and they had probably...
Here. Isn't that what you're referring to?
No, it was this. The one I was looking at was in Australia.
Oh, okay.
It was in New Zealand, sorry.
Okay.
Was 200 sort of...
There was a very small one in Toronto, a vigil that had like 12 or 13 kids do it here.
Okay, I did not see that.
Yeah.
I was looking at about 200 kids, and some of them are like, they're grade 7 or 8, and they're girls in their little schoolgirl outfits, and they're doing the haka.
Which, for those who don't know, the New Zealand All Blacks, it's a, you know, world-famous rugby team, and this is sort of their...
Well, it's a Maori tradition.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Keep going.
Well, I was going to say, you know, it's sort of become world-famous on the back of this rugby team. It's, you know, how they get primed up for a game. It's this... It looks like a war call, right? Or whatever, as this team gets ready to go. And so, yeah, it's sort of associated with the New Zealand All Blacks.
For sure. It's become very popular with that. And with also with Tonga and Fiji, any of the South Pacific island nations, right? They all look at it. But it's got a very sort of a spiritual, it's readying yourself for a bunch of things. But it's the unity and the support, and yeah, it's an amazing thing to see, and I found it very powerful to see a bunch of school-aged kids doing it, right? It's a very unifying, and the thing that comes out of this New Zealand thing, whether you're pro-gun or you're not, is to listen to their PM say, these people, these immigrants or not, they're us. These people who have come here for a better life, they're us. The people who perpetrated this crime are not us, right?
Yeah.
And so to me, it's and when you blend the haka into it and all that sort of stuff, it's the unifying nature that comes out of something so terrible is the idea that these people are us, and us in Canada as a country of immigrants.
Well, and how many? You know, both here and in the United States, how many right-wing politicians refuse to call this terrorism? It was white nationalists, or it's what, like, that's an easier thing for us to digest or swallow something. No, a white terrorist went in and shot up a bunch of brown people. That's what happened. Yeah. And she made no bones about it. Their prime minister said, the victims here are us. The attacker is not, right? And, you know, In a cynical way, you could say that's a bit of a cop-out. They're all citizens, whatever. But she is saying, no, like, these people who came here from other places to be part of our country are welcome here. And I was super impressed, again, to go back to that podcast that we mentioned from The Daily, that she showed up to the area where these families were gathering in what I understood to be like a head.
She wore a headscarf.
Yeah. Which, that's not her religion, but I'm showing up to a place where people are in prayer, and I'm going to show them the proper respect, and said to the people in charge there, my time is yours, what can I do to help you right now? That's the prime minister, that's the head of state for that country, right? That, maybe
she,
not.
She showed up with a little Arabic?
Yeah.
Right? Peace be with you? I want to
set it up. No, yeah.
Yeah, but in Arabic is all I'm saying.
Yes.
And so, yeah, people respond to that, right? And so, yeah, she's very progressive, right?
Clearly.
As we've seen from the beginning, right?
Yeah.
So, silver lining, you know, and some good things out of a terrible tragedy.
Yeah. Let's talk about something stupid.
Well, this is what we do best.
That's really where our meat and potatoes are. There is a company who has released what they are calling... The cock cam. And as I'm reading it, because they don't get to that, it's not in the title, it's not in the description of the article. And I'm like, this is the cock cam. You have to call this. And there it is, right? Like, it's right there when you finally get to it. Essentially, this is a cock ring that you get to put on and wear, or I guess if there are women listening to this, have your partner put on it. Well, and
put it on, because clearly if you checked out the video footage,
right.
Ladies, you can do it too.
And it'll put you right there in the action. It's a front row seat to...
Right in the pocket.
Right. There it is. Yes. Oh, where is it? Oh, there it is. And there it is.
It's dark.
Yeah, exactly. It's an HD cam. 1080p, it says it shoots in. High definition. Honestly, that's pretty good, man.
And whatever the second number was, I didn't understand it, but...
When we talked,
1080p,
you know,
I get.
A few episodes back on Audio Whiplash about how you managed to get a camera in a pen. It's pretty impressive. Now it's in a cock ring. We've reached a whole other level.
Hey, that weighs 1 ounce, ladies and gentlemen. 1 ounce.
So I guess it requires it to be connected to your phone. It doesn't itself have a memory card in it or record its own footage. Because
that, of course, bumps it up to about 2.5 ounces.
And then it, maybe your piece won't support it. Like, I don't know. It's
my piece. This is exactly this.
Anyone's piece, yeah. But, you know.
We are talking about.
Yeah. And so it's exactly what it sounds like. It's a camera pointing forward, wrapped around your dick as you're going at your business. And I think this was $130, $140.
$160.
That's an expensive cock ring, man.
Right.
Yeah, I got to assume.
Plus shipping, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. No, it's true. Internationally.
You're talking about $200.
to get what? Really?
Okay. And what it said was,
what are you seeing down there that you're not seeing from your own?
And so I was most
probably nothing you need to see.
I was most interested in this article about a cock ring, right? Which is what it is.
Yeah.
Like, and for those of you who are going, oh my goodness, Ethel, what's a cock ring? Yeah, something to help you maintain an erection. Elwood
gives a bit of a sundown, man.
Yeah, gives you a little extra,
a bit of a squeeze,
a little rigidity.
Yeah, no, I was letting you go, but
so with a camera on it,
yeah.
And so the idea is now you see now I've
you can point it up at yourself like a selfie.
Well, this is it.
I'm
right?
having a great time.
And so this is an article, yeah, written about a cock ring,
yes,
which is where I was going before I got off on the tangent.
Yeah, Ethel.
Okay, but you are then going to use, you know, drop stuff like a Venn diagram.
It's very scientific.
Well, this is right. And you're like, Venn diagram. What's a Venn diagram? For those of you who are interested, right? That's any of your diagrams with circles showing overlapping areas.
Yeah.
Anyways. But I found that to be odd right off the hop. You're talking about a cock cam, whereas they're using it in the analogy that there's people who like to
have cock rings,
view you know,
themselves having sex,
right? Yeah. There's one circle, and then there's people who like to wear cock rings, as Matt suggested.
Yeah.
And then you go, there's a circle, and you go, that little space.
Where do they overlap?
Where those
we
two.
We need to sell them $160 cameras.
Right, those yeah. people right there are yeah. the people
send
we're
us
targeting.
Your mailing addresses. That's
I
our
I
want
to wear a cock ring, and I like to watch myself having sex. And now the not safe for work video clip that
what
comes
is that
which comes with this is and why they show somebody who's a free jumper, right? Or
yeah, like skiing down the hill wearing a cock ring.
Wait, well, and he's wearing a prosthetic.
Yeah,
so he's got this big dildo hanging off the front
the
of him, and so you're looking at it from the cock ring perspective.
Yeah,
and all you see is this big rubber meat. Waving. Flopping and waving around in front of you. Like
this could be you. You could have this.
No, that could not be me. There's no way that could be me.
I can't ski.
Or jump off of towers.
No, exactly.
Whatever's happening here. Yeah. None of these things are happening. As for that big slab
purple
of meat
thing flapping
waving
around.
Honestly, you're like,
none of this relates to me at all.
What am I putting the ring on again?
Right.
My fingers? You could really after looking at the photo. And honestly, I'm at that spot where my cheeks are hurting from
grinning.
From grinning. Yeah, it's like, hey, slow down.
So you will not be buying the cock cam.
I will not be buying the cock cam. Now, do you have any faith when it said yes?
This won't
well,
be hacked.
This will not be hacked. This is not being uploaded to the cloud anywhere.
That's the difference, right? For those who don't understand this part of the cock cam technology.
Man,
I know it's new to many of you.
We're looking down directly on you.
So if it had its own memory card in the cock cam, it would record to that and that would be the end of it. Because it doesn't, it sends the broadcast from the cock cam to your phone.
Of course.
And that's where it's recorded. So it has to be on the internet at least for a minute to get from the camera to your phone over Wi-Fi, over Bluetooth, however you want to do it.
Oh, I want to do it.
Which seems like it opens up a ton of room for shenanigans on where else this video
well,
might be going.
Well, they said there's no way. So here you are. Here's me strapping it on. Oh,
I've been hacked.
Yeah. Oh, now
someone hacked my cock.
Yeah. And there it is. Like, if this is it. It's an innie. Yeah. Why is that now looking at the inside of my belly? I have no idea. Yeah. And you go, if ever there was a thing where you went,
can I keep this off the internet?
Yeah. Do I want to record this? And really, what's your partner thinking?
Well, that's just my point. Like, what are you really looking at? It's just probably in the dark. At least half of it's in the dark.
Honestly, and it's like watching a movie with earmuffs on. I can only imagine.
It's terrible.
You're like, what? What is happening there? Yes, and in this day and age of we're looking for climax.
Like, well, and this is the other thing. You can't even watch it in the moment. Well, like, this is, course. I guess, to watch back later. Right?
Well, what are you doing then?
I know you're wearing it then for that.
Yes.
Why does this fist just keep coming at me?
What, thumbs.
Thumbs. Multiple. How many hands are you using?
I don't know about you, man. I just.
Look at this fucking guy.
It's not a length, it's a width thing.
Thumbs.
One over top of the other. Anyways, I can't speak for you.
You sure can't. Apparently.
So if you're looking for ways to spice up,
yeah.
If things have become a little dull,
get the cock cam.
Cock cam may be the thing for you.
If it's on Amazon, we'll link it.
This is it.
We'll get a little kickback.
Yeah, help us out. Help us out. You in that little nice little overlap in the Venn diagram. We're looking at you.
Yeah. That's Audio Whiplash for another week. Let's get the hell out of here, man. You can give us a follow on Twitter at Talkin' Audio. We'll share the cock cam for those of you who want to buy it in shame quietly. But it'll be at all the usual places.
He means the link.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not passing it around. When I'm done with it. Holy fuck.
Here's a clip of it being you. Here's a little how-to.
I am unhappy with the confusing and at times confrontational nature of that meeting. I wanted it to go better. I wanted it to go better!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app. Audio a lot, it starts to sound weird.